What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Plant the Spear Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse, and welcome to the show. This is going to be our preview of the Florida State-Syracuse game taking place this Saturday at 8 o'clock on ACC Network. Florida State will travel to New York for their last road game of the year to take on a Syracuse team that's been reeling of late. They are currently on a three-game losing streak. There are some questions about whether quarterback Garrett Schrader is going to be starting for them or not. And so we're going to get into it, give you all that you need to know. This is Friday at the time of this recording. I do apologize about this being late. It's just been it's been a pretty busy week. I'm trying to remodel my office a little bit. I've had some internet work done at the house. So it's just a lot of things going on. I do apologize, like I said, about this coming out so late. But we're going to get you what you need to know and get you ready for the game on Saturday. Sometimes when it's a one-man show and you're doing things kind of by yourself, it does, you know, sometimes you just get behind schedule. I think I was trying to get some things done for the Miami game as well afterwards. It just kind of threw me off track, but hopefully we'll get back on track next week. But like I said, I can't leave you guys hanging, so we're still going to get into it. And so, yeah, let's just talk about the game. Florida State comes in at 23 in their latest college football playoff rankings. It is nice to see them get back in there. Get in there in the first place. They got back ranked in the AP poll this week, but this is their first appearance in the playoff committee poll. And hopefully you would think if, you know, they can win against Syracuse on the road, which, you know, Syracuse was ranked at one time. They were 6-0. I know they've struggled in the last three games. So, you know, it would have been nice if they could have been around top 25 still, just so you could have got one ranked win so far. Then you get Louisiana next week and Florida after that, both at home. You know, you feel like if Florida State can win these last three games, they should be, you know, pretty well inside the top 20, you know, maybe pushing somewhere, depending on what happens above you, towards the top 15 before the bowl game. So that would be nice to see. And just to finish on a strong note, but it all starts this Saturday. Like I said, this is the last road game of the year, the last road test, and it's not going to be an easy one. I mean, Syracuse, by all means, it's not exactly a loud place to play. It's not, you know, it's not some kind of, it's not like playing at Clemson or anything like that in Death Valley or you know, or whatever. But it is one of them where it's kind of like, it's a long trip. It's all the way up to, you know, to Syracuse. It's kind of a sleepy crowd sometimes. And they've had some decent crowds this year, you know, starting 6-0. But I think now that they're on a three-game losing streak, not sure how things are going. You know, it's just not the greatest environment to play in. It's pretty much it's not like a snake pit environment. It's more like a trap game environment. And Syracuse is a kind of a scrappy team regardless, with a pretty good defense, depending, you know, on who they've played. They haven't had the toughest schedule, but, you know, they can give you some fits. They can give you some problems. And if you go up there and you don't bring your A game and you let them hang around, this team will beat you. And so, I mean, they didn't start 6-0 for nothing. Now, to be fair, I personally did not think Syracuse was going to be that good this year. I thought they'd be, you know, anywhere from a 4-6 win team, and I thought Dino Babers would be coaching for his job this year. And, you know, we'll see how they end the regular season. I know they still have Wake ahead, and I'm not really sure who else, but, you know, they could end up losing a few, you know, at least they're already 6-3. If they drop Florida State and possibly Wake Forest, you know, you're at 7-5 there. And again, like I said, I'm not sure who else they have left, but it's been a good season for them. I know, you know, they got a few breaks. They got a lot of teams at home early. They got NC State without Devin Leary. And, you know, they lost their quarterback against Pitt, where even though Pitt is, you know, they're on pretty even footing with Syracuse, I feel like Syracuse probably could have won that game, you know, with Garrett Schrader there, because he was, you know, they only lost 19-9. And, you know, their backup quarterback is just not anywhere near what Schrader's been able to do. So, you know, again, this is a team that I feel like on paper, Florida State should win this game, especially if Garrett Schrader's not playing. But you got to bring your A game, and you got to be ready to play in that kind of trap game atmosphere. The matchups aren't terribly great for Florida State in some areas. You know, Syracuse is a kind of run-first team, which Garrett Schrader was a big part of that, and Florida State has struggled a little bit to stop the run. And so we're gonna get into a little bit more of that in just a second. So let's just start with some overall game notes on this one. Florida State is currently a 7-point favorite. I do believe the line, I think it started at 6.5. It's been bumped up a little bit. I think there's a little more doubt than optimism about Garrett Schrader playing, which I think pushed the line a little bit. And, you know, to me, this is by far the biggest X factor of this game, because it's like we talked about with Fabian Lovett before. You know, he's, I'm not going to say that Fabian Lovett is, you know, a first round NFL draft pick, dominant defensive tackle that just changes the game. But with where Florida State is at currently, he changes the game for Florida State. And so he is, you know, he's as valuable as a first round draft pick for Florida State, because they don't have, you know, like we talked about against Clemson, if they have a defensive lineman go out, they bring in another potential, you know, first or second round NFL draft pick. Florida State doesn't have that luxury. So getting him back was huge. And Syracuse with Garrett Schrader, and obviously the quarterback position is hard to replace for anybody, but that's how Garrett Schrader is for them. Like, he is not some dynamic, you know, first round, second round NFL draft pick type guy at quarterback or some generational talent. But when you look at what he means to that offense, it's so critical that he is, you know, whether he's playing or not and whether he's at 100%, because he is a mobile quarterback too. So if he's not 100%, you know, it's not like he's going to stand back there and, you know, be like Peyton Manning or Tom Brady and just fall down when someone gets near him. Like, part of their offense is him is relying on his ability to run the ball. So he's going to take shots. So if he's not at 100%, you know, that's not a good situation for him to be in. So we are going to kind of have to approach this preview from two different perspectives, and that's whether he's going to play or whether he's not. And, you know, you could also have a situation like with Notre Dame, where he did try to play, he was not 100%, didn't look right, and he ended up being pulled from the game and then going with the backup. So just keep that in mind going forward. Like I said, as the line got pushed up a little bit, I think there's a little bit more, you know, people erring on the side of he's not going to play versus he is, which bodes well for Florida State. The over-under on this game is at 51 points. You know, I think it may be a little higher scoring than that. If Schrader doesn't play, I think that's probably a decent number. Most of the points going Florida State's way. So as far as coming into this game, Florida State is 6-3, 4-3 in the ACC, currently on a two-game winning streak, and they are 2-1 on the road this season. They are also 6-3 against the spread. Syracuse is also 6-3, 3-2 in the ACC, currently on a three-game losing streak. They are 5-1 at home and 6-3 against the spread as well. And one thing that you will see also going through this preview is when I started looking at these teams with Garrett Schrader at 100%. Now, that is a big qualifying metric here, but these teams are oddly similar in a lot of ways as far as statistical rankings and things like that. And so you will see that as we go through. You know, same record against the spread. And, you know, once we get into a few more stats, it'll start to stand out a little bit. So, you know, like I said, I've seen a lot of people predicting this to be a blowout. I think if Schrader doesn't play, it probably will be, you know, but if he's back in 100%, this is going to be a harder game than I think some people are giving credit for. So strength of schedule wise this season, Florida State comes in at 23rd. Syracuse comes in at 36th. Win probability, Florida State is currently given a 55.7% edge by ESPN and a little higher per Pro Football Focus at 64.4%. As far as PFF 70-plus graded players, of course, using a 50-snap minimum like we like to do, because you can kind of influence your grade by, you know, only having a few snaps if you have really good snaps when you do play. So Florida State comes in at 15, 7 on offense, 8 on defense. Syracuse comes in at 15 as well, 6 on offense, 9 on defense. Now, they did have 10, but they just lost a cornerback to injury versus Notre Dame, and we're going to talk about that when we get to the defense. So the last meeting, we know Florida State won 33-30. It was the game that broke their four-game losing streak last year. And, you know, just kind of, it was the game that started them getting back on track. Now, you might think, well, Florida State was terrible last year and they still beat Syracuse, but Syracuse was terrible last year. I think both teams have improved. I do think Florida State is currently the better team, and I think they're playing better at the moment. You know, they had a little lull there in the middle of the season where they weren't playing that well, but it was against very good competition, and now they're kind of starting to get some, you know, get in rhythm, get in sync, whereas Syracuse is kind of trending in the other direction. So, you know, Florida State, like I said, they won last year, but both teams are improved. So while I do think Florida State is the better team, you know, it was still a close game last year, and it very well could be a close game this year too, you know, depending on how, if they have Garrett Schrader or not. So Florida State is 12-2 all time against Syracuse. The last loss was in the Dome in 2018. And before that, Florida State has not lost to them since 1966. So it's not often Syracuse has gotten the best of the Noles. So next up, we're going to look at a few more advanced rankings. Again, there's some science and stuff behind all this. You know, I just know this. These are adjusted for opponents and strength of opponent and pace of play and things like that. Because in today's world, it's really not as simple as doing total offense, total defense. Because a lot of times you have teams playing catch up, you know, if they're down, or you have opponent who's not good. So it's not always as easy, which, you know, I really like context around stats too. So it's not as easy as total offense, total defense anymore. So some of the rankings here that are a little more advanced, adjusting for some of those things like pace of play and opponent adjusted. So you have the FEI rankings, which I believe his name is Femerow, something like that. Florida State comes in at 15th. Syracuse is at 34th. S&P Plus rankings, Florida State is 27th. Syracuse is 58th. F Plus rankings, which are those combined in equal parts, Florida State comes in at 21st. Syracuse is at 45th. So Syracuse is, you know, they're behind Florida State in each one of those rankings. And like I said, I do feel like Florida State is currently the better program with better athletes and playing better ball. It's just Syracuse can be a tricky team to play in that dome. And so when you look at points per game, Florida State is currently at 33.6 points per game. Syracuse is at 30 even, so that's not a huge differential there. This is another close stat here, points allowed per game. Florida State currently comes in at 19.8. Syracuse comes in at 18.4 points allowed per game. So that's pretty, they're pretty on par here defensive-wise. They both have a solid defense here. Florida State, obviously, as you'll see coming up, they get the edge in offense. So yards per game, Florida State comes in at 483.4 yards per game on average. Syracuse down at 368.8 yards per game. Yards allowed per game, here's another close one for you. Florida State is allowing 308.4 yards per game, Syracuse 306.9. So I think this is really going to be, it's going to be a battle of which offense has the better day, because, you know, you both have a tough defense to go against. So yards per play, Florida State is at 7.01 yards per play. Syracuse is down at 5.99, which is not a huge difference. Yards per play allowed, Florida State at 4.73. Syracuse at 4.74. So you see, I mean, there's some very similar stats here to go on. That's why I think this game might be a little bit closer than a lot of people are giving it credit for, you know, again, depending on which quarterback plays for Syracuse. So on Twitter, I found a page that puts out some things. It's called Pick Six Preview. So shout out to them. I want to give them credit for the stat. So they put out their top power five offenses as of week 10 after last week, adjusted for opponent and per play. Florida State comes in at 6. Syracuse comes in at 38. When you look at the same stat for top Power 5 defenses, opponent adjusted and per play, Florida State is at 17th. Syracuse is at 29th. So again, you see Florida State, you know, they're a little better on defense, but pretty close. But the offense is really going to be the decided advantage in this game. Florida State has a better offense than Syracuse. They're a lot more balanced too. They're able to throw the ball better than Syracuse, and you know they're Florida State's on four games right now of rushing for over 200 yards. So I do like Florida State's offense to kind of be the deciding edge in this game, but they're going to have to come to play, and they're not going to be able to make all the mistakes sometimes that they're known to make in games, drive killing penalties and stuff like that, which they've gotten a lot better about since the bye week. So if they can keep that up, I think they'll be all right in this game. So average penalties, this is finally we have a game where someone gets more penalties than Florida State. This might be a first all season, I'm pretty sure. So Syracuse is 121st in the country, averaging 8.22 penalties a game. Florida State, not much better, at 106, averaging 7.33. I know Syracuse did have, I think it was 18 penalties or something like that in one of their games. At least you're going to have a team that's heavily penalized, which Florida State, like I said, they have been better about that since the bye week. But it will be nice to see a flag go against somebody else. Syracuse does get the edge in turnover margin. They are plus 7, which is 18th in the country. And Florida State is currently plus 1, which is 61st in the country. Now, we know Florida State has not been a team that's been great at creating turnovers, you know, but they've had a few in the last few games, and so maybe they can get some things rolling here. You know, Syracuse is probably not going to throw the ball a lot, so I'm not sure how many chances of interceptions they're going to have, but maybe they can put the ball on the ground a few times. It's just, I think it's more important in this game for Florida State to protect the ball than, you know, worrying about forcing a turnover more than anything. So next we'll go through Syracuse's schedule and opponents and kind of talk about who they played and how they performed in those games. So game one was a pretty shocking win for Syracuse, especially if you were one of the ones like myself, you know, to be perfectly honest, who thought Syracuse was not going to be that great this year. Now, to be fair, I thought Louisville was going to be about a 7-win team this year. So I guess it wasn't extremely shocking, but Syracuse beating them 31-7 was like, whoa, what? We might need to pay attention to Syracuse this year. And that, you know, that was the case through the first 6 weeks of the season. So in that game, like I said, they won 31-7 at home against Louisville, who is currently 6-3. And they put up 449 yards in that game, 241 pass, which if you saw Garrett Schrader play last year, that's an insane amount of passing yards for him. I'm pretty sure, not to be exact, but I'm pretty sure when I did the preseason preview on him, I think he had four games with under 100 yards passing last year. So for him to throw for 241 is pretty impressive. They held Louisville to 334 yards, outgained them by over 100 yards there. And they had 18 penalties in that game. Louisville had three turnovers, which obviously didn't help their chances. So that was a really good win, kind of a statement win for Syracuse coming out the season. Game two, they played UConn, who is much improved this year over years past. They're still not a good team. They are currently 5-5, and Syracuse won that game 48-14, which is, you know, that's what you would expect. They did play at UConn. They put up 470 yards in that game, 314 passing, which again was pretty incredible to think about with what you saw from Schrader last year to throw for over 300 yards. UConn only put up 202 yards in that game, but I mean, their offense is, it's one of the worst in the country. So, you know, that makes things look a little better there. And game three, when you look at who they played, it was Purdue, and it was a very close win at home, 32-29. I want to say that was a game that I don't think it was a Hail Mary, but it was kind of like a deep pass at the last second to win the game for Syracuse. But, you know, Purdue's 5-4. They're not a good team, but, you know, Purdue, they're known to knock off some some teams in the Big Ten at times. So it was a good win for them still. You know, to me, beating Purdue is, you know, that's akin to beating kind of a middle-tier ACC team. You know, Florida State's kind of really played, you know, when you look at it, like Boston College is probably worse than Purdue. Georgia Tech's probably worse than Purdue. Miami's would probably lose to Purdue too. So, you know, you really haven't had a whole lot of those middle tier games, but you know, it's not a bad win for Syracuse. They did get held to only 306 yards in that game, 181 passing and 125 on the ground. So Purdue in that game, now, this is something that I did want to point out. So Syracuse this season has not faced many good offenses. They have not faced any inside the top 40 this entire season, and only two inside the top 50. So when you look at Purdue, they are the best offense that Syracuse has faced this season, and they have the 16th best passing offense, which when you look at the other opponents, that is the only passing offense inside the top 70. So there has not even been anybody remotely close to passing like Purdue can. You know, which again, it's Purdue. So I mean, they have a really good pass game. They have a good quarterback and they have a couple dynamic receivers. But when you look at that, they put up 424 yards passing against Syracuse. So the one time Syracuse had to play a passing offense with a pulse, they gave up over 400 yards passing. Now, Florida State comes in at 33rd on passing, which, you know, isn't quite as high as Purdue, but is sure inside the top 70. So I like for Florida State, you know, Florida State almost threw for 400 yards in one game, but I don't, you know, they're not, that's not their game. They're probably not going to throw for 400, but you obviously feel good about them being able to use the pass game if, say, Syracuse has to load the box to stop the run, you know, or whatever. If you have to throw open the run game, I do like Florida State to be able to move the ball through the air here. And that's also considering, again, they lost one of their top corners last game, which they would have had for Purdue. So in that game, 25 offensive points by Syracuse because they did have a defensive touchdown, 13 penalties by Purdue in that one. And so, like I said, Syracuse, they have not had a great offensive season, but they've been able to do enough. And when you look at game four, they played Virginia, who is currently 3-6. They won 22-20 in overtime. You know, Virginia's not a bad defense, but they have a terrible, terrible offense. So the good thing, you know, you see here in my mind, and sometimes it's hard to compare non-direct opponents. Like you have Clemson here, who's a direct opponent, NC State, who both teams played. But when you look at Virginia, who Florida State did not play, but you see how close Georgia Tech was. You see how close Miami was with Virginia. And then you saw Florida State just absolutely dominate both of those teams. And now you have Syracuse in a 22-20 overtime win at home against Virginia. You know, little things like that make you feel a little more confident about this game. So in that game, Syracuse did put up 352 yards. They held UVA under 300, but again, UVA's offense is pretty bad. So 12 penalties by both teams, 6 total turnovers, 4 by Syracuse, 2 by UVA. Just a sloppy game all around, but they did enough to win, and that's what counts. So game 5 was against Wagner. There's no point in even talking about this game. Wagner is a 1-8 FCS team. They lost 59-0 in that game. They put up 631 yards, and I just felt like I had to mention this. Wagner was held to 50 yards in total yards. Like, that is unbelievable almost. So I do say that to mention, when you look at some of their stats, I mean, you're going to get an obvious bump by holding a team to 50 yards. But if it's a 1-8 FCS team, I mean, what did you really do? So, you know, when you see like Syracuse having a, you know, a high-ranked defense and things like that, just keep in mind one of those games was a 50-yard outing, which they get credit for. I mean, you smothered a bad team, but, you know, again, this team, just for reference, Wagner lost to Rutgers 66-7. So, yeah, just take that with a grain of salt. But the next game, Game 6, was a good win for them with another asterisk. So it was NC State, who's currently 7-2, and Syracuse did win the game 24-9. They got him at home, and they got him without Devin Leary. That's like a, you know, that's like a double positive for Syracuse here. Not only did you not have to go play in Carter Finley and Raleigh, and you didn't have to play them with their starting quarterback. They hadn't figured out who MJ Morris was, who has just kind of really taken over that offense in the last few games and led them to beat Wake Forest and things like that. So he only had one pass attempt in that whole game. NC State only had 255 yards. You know, that's where they had the guy who played against Florida State who they wouldn't even let throw a pass. So their offense was just struggling in that game. Now, they did put up 389 yards and 24 points. So, again, you know, they get credit for that win. They get credit for putting up 24 points on that defense, which is something Florida State did not do. And if they would have, they would have won the game. So, you know, they do get credit for that. But, again, how much does it affect the fact that they didn't have Devin Leary at all in that game? So, moving on to the next game, game 7 against Clemson. They lost 27-21 in that game. They were held under 300 yards, 291 yards. Clemson put up 450 total yards, 293 on the ground, almost 300 yards rushing. So that is like, that's something to definitely note because of the way Florida State has been able to run the ball. Syracuse only scored 14 offensive points in that game. They had a scoop and score. Clemson had 4 turnovers in that game, which included 1 scoop and score by Syracuse, where Clemson fumbled in the red zone, and they got like a 90-yard return for a touchdown in that game. So they only scored 14 offensive points. So you feel, you know, that's a common opponent. And, you know, Florida State was able to put up 28 points in that game against Clemson. So, you know, you feel good about that. What they were able to do against that defense. Now, of course, Clemson came to Tallahassee and they went to Death Valley, which is a much harder place to play than, you know, getting Clemson on the road. So, you know, there is that. And I know in that game, ACC refs did ACC ref things. You know, it wasn't a terrible loss for them, but I think it was kind of, you know, I don't think they had a chance to beat Clemson, but Clemson has been struggling. And so they kept it close, which was good to see. For Clemson's side. I mean, to me, I always want to see Clemson fall off one way or the other. But So they did lose that game, but only by 6, which was the same exact of what Florida State lost by. So again, these teams are, you know, they're just close in a lot of aspects when Syracuse is healthy. And so game 8, this is where we start to see a little bit of a different story here. This is where you had Schrader play in, I think, the first 2 quarters and then was taken out. So game 8, they lost to Notre Dame, who is currently 6-3, and of course just beat Clemson. And they lost 41-24. Notre Dame did have a pick 6, so they only gave up 34 offensive points in that game, which is still, that's 34 offensive points. I feel like if Florida State gets 34 points, they beat Syracuse in this game. That's my opinion. Syracuse was held under 300 yards for now a second game at 286 yards, and Notre Dame put up 362, which Notre Dame's offense is pretty bad, 81st in the country, 115th in passing offense. So for them to put up 362 yards, you know, that was doing something for them. And that was a game where, like we said, Schrader exited and the backup came in, and it was just not a great outing for him. Game 9, this was by far their worst game of the season. That was a loss at Pitt, which was last week. Pitt is 5-4, kind of been up and down this season. You expected a lot more from them than they've shown. They lost that game 19-9, did not score an offensive touchdown in the entire game. Schrader did not play at all in that game. And Syracuse only put up 145 yards in that game. So just an absolute terrible offensive performance out of them. And you can just see, you know, you can really see where without Garrett Schrader, how things just kind of fall off a cliff for them. So now you have 3 straight games where they've been held under 300 yards. And Pitt in that game put up 337 yards. You know, Pitt's not exactly a great offense, 65th in the country. And, you know, Florida State's offense comes in at 15th. So it's going to be by far the best offense that Syracuse has had to face this season. So speaking of offense, we'll just transition right into the offensive preview for Syracuse. So currently they're averaging around 68.3 plays per game. Now, against Pitt, that number dropped off with the backup. I think they only ran like 48 scrimmage plays there. The run game, they do they run it 43.3% of the time and pass 56.6% of the time. They are currently 88th in total offense, 89th in passing offense, and 68th in rushing offense. Third down offense, they come in at 76th, so not too great in the red zone. Third down. However, red zone offense, they are 6th in the country, so they are top 10 in red zone offense. Sacks allowed is currently 113th for them, and they've allowed 107 pressures this season. Tackles for loss allowed, they are 81st in the country, and it's really been kind of a bad last 3 weeks for them as far as what their offensive line has been able to do, especially with the backup. Because, you know, again, one thing that you have to keep in mind with this offense is it is run heavy, and Sean Tucker, you know, coming into the season, he looked like he was their guy. Like, that was the one guy that they were going to have to rely on this season. Now, Garrett Schrader, what they were able to do with him, I do believe they hired the Virginia offensive coordinator who, you know, Virginia had a really good offense last year, and they have fallen off a cliff this season. Now, Syracuse didn't have a great offense last season, and they have seen a drastic uptick in what they have done through the pass game. And it really has been very impressive to see what they've done with Garrett Schrader at quarterback, because he was one of the worst quarterbacks statistically in the ACC last year, and he's having a much better season. But when you take that away, because he does have a legit run threat from the quarterback position, he allows Sean Tucker to do some more things. And so once you take away that little bit of pass threat that they do have, and once you take away the added run threat, then you're basically putting the game in Sean Tucker's hands. And it's just, it's not worked out well for them. So if Schrader's not able to play, I feel like you're going to be able to sell out to stop the run here and try and force Syracuse to throw the ball to beat you with their backup quarterback, which is kind of what you can tell Pitt did a little bit. You know, they knew that they weren't going to be able to throw the ball on them. Pitt has a legit run defense, 16th in the country, and so they were able to just bottle them up and keep them from scoring. So if Schrader's out, I think Florida State will have a very good day on defense against this offense. You know, if you can just stop the run, then I feel like you're probably good to go. I don't think that they'll be able to throw the ball on you a whole lot, even though they do have a big wide receiver, which we're going to talk about in just 1 second. So hypothetically, if Schrader does play, we'll just talk about him for a second. He currently has a 67% completion percentage, 77.2 adjusted completion percentage, which accounts for drops and throwaways, 1,643 yards, 14 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, big-time throw rate of 5.3%, which is pretty good, a turnover-worthy play rate of 4.3%, which is pretty high, and a PFF grade of 88.8, which is that's a good grade. I mean, that's pretty highly rated. I think Jordan Travis is just over 90. So he's turned into a pretty decent quarterback for them. Now, if he's not 100%, that's obviously, like we talked about, that's going to affect him because he's a running quarterback. He's still going to be taking shots in this game. So, you know, how much is he going to, if he starts at, say, 80% and he's in there getting smacked around by this defense, who does like to play hard and fast and physical, you know, will he have to exit the game? But if not, or, you know, if he's not there, they're going to turn to their backup, Del Rio Wilson, who has had a rough stretch of games. So he did come in relief in the Notre Dame game, and then he played against Pitt. Pitt was not just, it was a bad game. I mean, there's no other way to say it for him. It was not a good game. So, which was his first full game as starter. He went 8 of 23 for 120 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 8 times in that game. He had a 19.2 QBR. He had 8 attempts on the ground, 34 yards, and a fumble. So, like I said, it was just it was a bad game for him. And, you know, how I'm sure he'll be a little more improved now that he's had a game and a half of experience, now that he'll have, you know, potentially, you know, they know whether Garrett Schrader is going to play or not. We don't. And Mike Norvell said that they are preparing as if he is going to play. But, you know, if you get Del Rio Wilson another, you know, a full week of preparation, I'm sure he'll probably have a little better game. But you're also playing against, a pretty good defense this week, too. And so far on the season, he does have a 44% completion percentage, 342 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. Adjusted completion percentage is only 55.3. Big-time throw rate, 5.6%, which, again, is pretty good. Turnover-worthy play rate is 6.7%, which is pretty high. And PFF grade comes in at 54.2, which is, that's pretty low. That is below, you know, below average, below 60, which is kind of not good. So, you know, if he has to play, if he's who they're relying on, I like Florida State to kind of win this game going away, unless you just see some kind of insane improvement through them. As far as the other impact players, they do have a big tight end kind of receiver guy, Andre Gadsden. He's 6'5", 217 pounds. He is he's a legit threat in the pass game, depending on who they have at quarterback. So he does have over twice as many targets and yards than any other receiver tight end on the team, on the offense. He has 671 yards, 6 receiving touchdowns, and a PFF grade of 80.6. So he's a legit guy. You know, he's like our Johnny Wilson. He's that big body tight end receiver guy who can make things happen, especially in the red zone. So that's someone they're going to have to maybe shade a little extra coverage to, and see if they can stop him. But again, like I said, depending on the limitations they have at quarterback, will he even be able to be utilized? Against Pitt, he had 5 targets, 0 catches, 0 yards. So, you know, if they have to roll out the backup and Florida State is able to pressure the quarterback, and, you know, and if they're able to give some, you know, just really kind of smother this guy, you can limit him if Schrader's not playing in the game. Of course, the other threat we know is running back Sean Tucker, who really is, I mean, he is a legit back. He is a nice piece for them. He's one of the better backs in the ACC, if not the country. Hasn't necessarily had a stellar year. He currently has 779 yards on the season, so obviously he'll project to be an over 1,000-yard back this season. 7 touchdowns, only 1 fumble, 35 receptions out of the background, 259 yards, 2 touchdowns receiving, over 1,000 yards of all-purpose yardage so far this season, PFF grade of 76.1. So, you know, again, he is a quality back, probably one of the better, if not the best, running backs that you'll face all season. You know, it just, again, when you have to put all the weight on his shoulders, how exactly great will he perform, you know, if you don't have that second run threat in there? And, you know, one of the previews that I read, or some of the notes that I read from a Syracuse site, is they talked about how Florida State had struggled to stop the run, which has been the case. You know, to be fair, that has been true. I don't think they took into account that Fabian Lovett has been missing for a majority of the season, and they have done better in the last few games. But, you know, they said Sean Tucker is going to have a field day all over this defense, and I just don't see that to be the case. You know, again, they had some pretty good defenses that they have faced this season, but, you know, Florida State now with Fabian Lovett back, I think they will be able to do some things. And so when you look at, we'll move up front to the offensive line. Speaking of the trenches, So offensive line has been a struggle for them. They only have one guy graded out above 70, and two of their offensive linemen graded out below 60 so far this season. So again, the unit has struggled a little bit. You know, they've not been the best at pass blocking. They're currently one of the worst units in Power 5 in sack rate. And so far in the last three games, they have allowed 15 sacks, including 8 sacks against Pitt. And Del Rio Wilson, the backup, he's been sacked 11 times in the past two games. So, you know, you give me a healthy Jared Verse, you give me a line with Fabian Lovett back and Robert Cooper, and, you know, you got guys like Patrick Payton now, who has been developed as, you know, he started as a depth player, and because of injury, now he's turned into a really nice player for you. You also have Jarrett Jackson, who seems to be healthy now. And then you have, you know, some of the other younger guys for Florida State who have been put into those positions, Joshua Farmer and things. So now your depth is even more talented. So, you know, if Florida State can keep pressure coming after them, I think they're going to have a big day in the pressure and sack department on Saturday. So I do look for that to be a factor in this game if Del Rio Wilson is the starter. And so flipping over to defense for Syracuse, this is obviously their strength. This is what has kind of carried them so far this season. They are 15th in total defense, 6th in passing defense, which again, keep in mind, they've only faced one passing offense inside the top 70, which put up 424 yards on them. You know, so you wonder how good that stat would be, or how good that ranking would be if they had played more than one legit passing defense, or excuse me, passing offense. And if you hadn't padded your stats against Wagner that had like 20 passing yards. So, you know, just keep that in mind, because like I always talk about, stats are just numbers until you provide context. You cannot just, you know, spew off a stat and say, oh, well, they have the 6th best passing defense. Well, we're not going to be able to throw the ball against them. It's kind of like Clemson, you know, where everyone said, well, they're not going to, you know, Florida State's not going to be able to run the ball against them. And I said they probably weren't going to run for 200 yards, and they did, but I thought they could get over 100, because when you looked at who Clemson has played, they hadn't played any good run rush attacks. So again, stats are useless without context. You know, they're just numbers. So you have to look at the whole picture. And, you know, again, so they played one good passing offense that put up over 400 yards, and they also padded their stats with a terrible FCS team that put up 50 total yards on them. So, like I said, I'm not saying Florida State's going to come out and throw for 400 yards. You know, but I think they can hit their season average, you know, somewhere around the 220 to 250 yard mark, which, you know, maybe even break 300 if Syracuse sells out to stop the run. So I do like that. And again, keep in mind, they did just lose one of their best veteran cornerbacks in the secondary against Notre Dame. So this will be their first full game without him. And so you may have a mismatch there. You may have a backup in that you can pick on a little bit. We'll have to keep an eye on that. I'm going to talk about him a little bit more in just one second. Rush defense comes in at 61st in the country. And like we said, you saw Notre Dame ran for 200-plus rushing yards. You saw 246 yards. And you saw Clemson put up almost 300 rushing yards on them. And then knowing that Florida State was able to rush for over 200 yards in the last four games, including North Carolina State defense and Clemson defense, who are both legit run defenses. I mean, when we're talking about Clemson here, you know, looking at their rush defense, they're 14th. NC State is 10th in the country. So you've been able to put up 200 plus yards on two top 10 or two top 15 rush defenses, and now you're facing the 61st rush defense that's already given up almost 250 and almost 300 yards in recent games anyway. So I do like Florida State to be able to get the ground game going. I'm not sure if Trayshawn Ward is going to be back or not. You know, they said he was available, you know, in practicing and everything for the Miami game. We didn't see him in that game, but, you know, if you get him back, that's an added boost. But still, Trey Benson is an absolute beast and has been running like one. So, you know, we'll see how, if Trayshawn is back or not. But either way, I still think they're going to have a big day on the ground. You know, kudos to this offensive line, the way that they have been performing in the last few games. I just do, like I said, I do look for them to be able to move the ball on the ground, because Florida State, one other thing to note as far as the trenches go in this game, Florida State should have a decided size advantage up front. When I went through Syracuse's defensive linemen and looked at all the players with significant snaps, I did not find one defensive lineman that was over 275 pounds. You know, they're a little bit more of a quick, kind of like speedy, rangy guys. They don't really have a lot of size up front. So if Florida State wants to run the ball, you know, you don't have anybody up front over 275 pounds. So I feel like Florida State should be able to push this defensive line around, you know, pretty much like they want to. Now, you know, you're going to have to be disciplined. You can't miss blocks if these are fast guys, because they can get in their backfield, in your backfield if you get past you, you know, and they are pretty good at creating some negative plays. But again, you know, this defensive line is not dominant. And so Florida State should be able to find success on the ground up front. You know, they've only had one sack versus, this is Syracuse's defensive line now, or Syracuse in general as a defense. They've only had one sack versus Notre Dame and one sack versus Pitt, and they didn't have any versus Purdue. So it's not, you know, it's not like they're great at creating pressure and getting sacks either, you know. So I do look for Florida State to have some success up front in the trenches on offense and on defense in this game. And so when you look at the linebackers for them, they are talented. This is one of the better linebacker groups in the conference. So that is kind of their strength. Their secondary is good. It is, you know, it is a good secondary. I won't lie. I mean, you don't get to six best in the passing defense for nothing, even if you didn't. I mean, you still got to go out and stop these teams. It's not like they don't have scholarship athletes too. You know, like we said, they may not have played a ton of good defenses, but they did what they were supposed to against them. But like we talked about, you know, Garrett Williams was the cornerback that they lost, which was an ACL injury, which from what I read was season ending. So, he shouldn't be back this game or anything like that. But his PFF grade was 71, and he was the leading secondary member, the leading DB in tackles, and he was second in INT. So that's going to be a big loss for them. And, you know, how does Florida State take advantage of that? We'll have to see. I mean, you know, you like Florida State to have, you know, when you got a load of receivers that you feel good about. And, you know, I don't know, maybe sometime we see Winston Wright this season. It's probably going to be next season. Hopefully he comes back. But, you know, now that you got Ja'Kai Douglas back and Johnny Wilson and all them, who, you know, you have some guys who can actually take advantage of this for once, which is something you didn't have last year. And so, like we talked about, so far this season, they've only faced two top 50 defenses and none in the top 40. They've faced the 45th and 47th best offense. And again, Florida State comes in with a top 20 offense. They come in currently at 15th on offense, 33rd on pass, and 17th on run. So this is by far going to be the biggest challenge for this defense this season as far as a balanced attack. They've only, you know, like we said, they've only faced the one passing offense of the top 70 that put up over 400 yards on them, and they've already allowed 200 rushing yards twice this season. So I do like what Florida State will be able to do against them. Now, they've only allowed over 30 offensive points one time this season, which was to Notre Dame. So while they have, you know, they haven't really faced anyone tough, they've done pretty well to hold teams under 30. So I do feel like if Florida State can get to 30 points, though, I feel like that's plenty enough for a win. Just some few other stats on the defense as far as third down defense. They're currently 62nd in the country. Red zone defense is 47th. They have currently created 118 pressures this season and 20 sacks. And for reference, Florida State has created 144 pressures and 26 sacks. So TFL's Syracuse is at 51, which is 71st in the country. Florida State has created 56. And INTs, they currently have 10 on the season, which is 20th. So again, you know, they have a pretty good secondary, but you just lost a couple of your guys, or you just lost one of your best guys there who is responsible for two of those 10 picks. So we'll see how, you know, how that affects that defense. So now looking at special teams real quick, they are fourth in kick return, which is kind of opened my eyes a little bit, like, uh-oh, we better watch out for that. Now they haven't had a lot of kick returns. I think they've only had like 10 kick returns this season, which is about half of everyone else who's ranked up there around them. They have not returned one for a touchdown yet. So, you know, if you have one good kick return, but you only have 10 returns total, it's going to boost your stats there. Kick return defense is 94th in the country. Punt return is 96th in the country. No touchdowns so far this season. Punt return defense is 79th in the country. And net punting is down at 118th. So I do feel like Florida State could win a field position advantage with some special teams play, which they have shown to be good at in the last few weeks. They've started to really get the return game kind of going a little bit. And, you know, we saw the two punts down at the one. Fitzgerald's kind of gotten into a rhythm with his field goals again. So if Florida State can keep up the special teams, you know, that could be another factor in this game, which when you're trying to beat, you know, I'm going to say a quality opponent, because Syracuse is not a bad team. Without their quarterback, they're not good. But, you know, a quality opponent on the road in a trap game environment, special teams can make a difference. For sure. So As far as kicking goes, they are 31 of 31 on PATs, 15 of 17 on field goals, and 2 of 2 from 50-plus. So they do have a good kicker who does have some range, so that might be something to watch as well, which I just don't see Syracuse moving the ball a whole lot without Schrader in the game. And so with that being said, as we get ready to wrap up, one thing that I just wanted to point out, I thought this was a really good comparison to look at as far as gauging Syracuse and what they might do with and without Schrader. So in their last three games, I felt like this was a good subset to compare to. So you had Clemson, Notre Dame, and Pitt. Now, like we said before, FSU's strength of schedule is 23rd. Cuse is at 36. So Clemson is at 26th, Notre Dame is at 16th, and Pitt is at 48th. So those are all in the same neighborhood. Total defenses. So Florida State is currently at 17th, and Clemson is at 28th. Notre Dame is at 27th, and Pitt is at 26th, which I thought was really weird when I went to do this. I was like, wow, really? I thought that was almost a typo or something. Maybe I wrote it down wrong. But so, you know, they're all in the same neighborhood, and these are three comparable, almost identical defenses when you look at Clemson, Notre Dame, and Pitt. And so when you look at the production that they've had against these defenses, and this is why I say Schrader is such a huge factor in this game. So when you look at offense versus these three defenses, and I'll just read them in a row. Keep in mind, Clemson was all Garrett Schrader. Notre Dame was a little bit of Schrader and a little more Del Rio Wilson. Pitt was only Del Rio Wilson, no Schrader. So your success rate in that game for the Syracuse offense against Clemson, Notre Dame, then Pitt, 44%, dropped to 33%, dropped to 23%. Your yards per play against Clemson was 5.39%. Dropped to 5 against Notre Dame, dropped to 3.06 against Pitt. So a huge drop-off there. You know, literally almost cut in half. So then you have your total yards was 291 against Clemson, 305 against Notre Dame, 145 against Pitt. So again, you can see where without them, it's really starting to fall off. So stuffed runs, which is runs that were stopped for 0 yards or less against Clemson, that was 17% of Syracuse's runs, 19% against Notre Dame, and then went up to 37% against Pitt. Because again, you know, Pitt had a good run defense, but you were also able to load the box because you knew they really didn't have a pass threat there. So opportunity runs, which are runs of 4+ yards, Syracuse had 57% of their runs go for 4+ yards against Clemson, only 38% against Notre Dame, and 37% against Pitt. So again, another drop off there. And so, like I said, you can just see where without Schrader in the game, how that offense is able to fall down. And another thing to note, too, was Sean Tucker against Clemson had 54 yards, against Notre Dame had 60 yards, and against Pitt only had 19 yards. So you can see how you can find some success there, you know, and what you'll be able to do if Garrett Schrader does not play in this game. I think Florida State will be able to shut them down pretty well on offense. If he does play, you know, it's going to be a closer game, but I still think Florida State will come out on top. You know, he hasn't played in a game and a half now. You don't know how, you know, how healthy he will be if he plays. And just for reference, because Clemson was a recent common opponent, just for the sake of talking about it, success rate against Clemson for Florida State was 51% compared to 44% by Syracuse. Yards per play for Florida State against Clemson's defense was 6.05 yards per play. Syracuse was at 5.39. Florida State allowed 5.15 yards per play. Clemson allowed 5.39. And then total yardage, Syracuse put up 291. Florida State put up 460. And yards allowed, Clemson put up 450 on Syracuse and 345 on Florida State. So, you know, again, like I said, there is a bit of a home and away advantage there between the two games, but you know, Florida State did perform a little better. And so, like I said, just to kind of wrap all this up and give a prediction, you have a team that is comparable on defense. Maybe you just consider that they've had a little easier path to get to where they're at on defense as far as strength of schedule and the competition that they've faced, and then how they performed against that competition. Like I said, you faced one top 20 pass offense and you got torched through the air. You know, you faced a couple of decent rush attacks and you gave up almost 300 yards in two games. So, you know, just knowing that and seeing how they got kind of, you know, they got blown out a little bit against Notre Dame there, and then they didn't score an offensive touchdown against Pitt. And, you know, Florida State, they lost three games to, you know, ranked teams by close margins. They've been in every game so far this season. and you see how Florida State is currently playing. You know, like we talked about, they've outgained the last two opponents by 700 plus yards, by 60 plus points. You know, Miami was probably their best complete game of the entire season. Pitt was probably the worst game of the season, you know, for Syracuse. And so I think if this game was played a month ago, it might be a closer prediction. It might be a tougher game to call. I think this game, just given the trajectory of both teams, knowing that the defenses are pretty equal footing, you know, we'll see how that cornerback being out affects Syracuse's pass defense. But knowing that Florida State has the better, more balanced offense, even if Garrett Schrader is playing at 100%, and the fact that he may not be there, I still am going to take Florida State to win this game on the road and move to 7-3. But, you know, you're going to have to show up and play. You're not going to be able to let, you know, the emotions of the Miami game hang around. They're going to have to play their A game. They're not going to be able to make mistakes because this is an opportunistic defense who, you know, they can score on you as far as scoring defense goes. But if Florida State comes out and plays a clean game, especially to the point that we saw against Miami, I think they're, like I said, they're going to get it done. Now, I'm going to give you two score predictions here, one if Schrader plays and one without, because it is going to make that big of a difference. So if Garrett Schrader plays, I'll take Florida State in a little bit closer victory, 31-24. Without Garrett Schrader, I think it's going to be a lot less of a contest. You know, I think Del Rio Wilson will probably do better with a full week to prepare and some experience, you know, being at home now again. So, you know, I think he'll do a little better this week, but it won't be by much. And I'm looking at FSU to win without Garrett Schrader playing for Syracuse, 34-13, and handle their business and come back home with a final road victory of the season and start to get ready for Louisiana and Florida at home to close the season out. So, you know, again, this is a game that if Florida State messes around and, you know, if you kind of play with your food a little bit, you're on the road in a trap game environment, just coming off a big rivalry win, you know, they could mess around and lose this game. But if they show up ready to play and Garrett Schrader doesn't, you know, he's not in the game, I just don't see it in the cards for Syracuse. I think this will be a blowout win for Florida State. So, yeah, give me Florida State big in this game if Schrader doesn't play. And I'll still take him to win even if he does. You know, I don't want to make it sound like Florida State is just going to walk all over them, but they do have the potential to if Schrader's not there. You know, I think they can for sure. But you're going to have to, you know, come to play because that defense is good. But I still think they get it done. I still think Florida State moves to 7-3, and you know, continues that win streak, makes it three in a row after the bye week, and still is on track to have finished the season how they want in a great fashion, and get things done, and just keep improving for the bowl game. Because, you know, now that Clemson lost, unless something happens or some chaos up top, UNC wins out, you know, does some things, gets some luck, or something like that, even Clemson maybe, but I doubt it. It looks like the ACC is probably not going to make the playoffs, so now you're going to bump down, everybody has to bump down a bowl because you don't have that team going into the college football playoff and then the next team stepping up to the Orange Bowl. So if Florida State is able to win this game, and, you know, Syracuse, like I said, they still have Wake Forest. So if you can get a couple of teams to lose there as well, Florida State has a chance to, you know, move up in the ACC rankings a little bit to get a little better bowl. Obviously, this is your last conference game of the season, so hopefully they can just go ahead, you know, and get this win, and then let's see how things shake out after that. But, you know, like I said, this is Florida State's playing good ball right now. So, you know, unless something changes, I think they're going to be fine. I think the way this team is and the culture that they have established at FSU, I think they are not the type of team that gets distracted, you know, or plays down to the competition and all that stuff. So I do think this team will come out to play. You know, I'm not so much worried about that. I think they'll be focused. You just got to limit the mistakes, which they were good at doing last week. So, again, in this one, give me Florida State, big over Syracuse if Schrader doesn't play. Still getting a win, a little tighter if he does. But that's going to be it, guys. We're going to wrap it up here. Like I said, I do apologize for this coming out on Friday so late, but hopefully you still have a chance to listen to it before the game. And we'll catch you afterwards. So I do appreciate everybody listening, and thank you for all your support. Go Noles!